Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. With Sesame Street, I don't know if anybody watches that anymore. It's on at my house still. And Sesame Street will be sponsored by either the number of the day or the letter of the day. And today it seems like the church service is sponsored by the image of shepherd, right? Everyone get that through the course of, okay, good. Well, everyone's paying attention so far. That's good. I was writing the sermon earlier this week, and I decided to do a Google search on the internet, which you do, to get some images that might help me reflect more deeply on the reading from our Gospel of John. So I went to the Google images, and I just typed in Good Shepherd. 1.13 seconds later, 226 million things came back. Now, you all know me. I'm very thorough. And I looked at all 226 million images and web pages. That took me the rest of the week, so I didn't do a sermon. I'm just kidding. I didn't look at all of them. I do have some sort of a life. But I did click the first few images, and you'll not be surprised about what I saw. Painting after painting after painting, all in a sort of, you know, the soft focus with Jesus in the long robe, with the immaculate beard, long flowing hair, like the, you know, the Pantene kind of commercial. With the bright white teeth, the million-dollar smile, and Jesus is kind of standing in the field, you know, a beautiful, stunning field with a shepherd's crook in one hand and like a little lamb kind of in the other, and there's another lamb that's on his shoulder, all the while being looked at by other loving, adoring sheep, right, that are kind of looking up at him. Just a hint of a loving smile on Jesus' lips. You know this image, we've seen it in churches kind of growing up or at relatives' houses. There must be thousands, if not millions, of pictures like that. We might call it a Sunday school image of Jesus. And a sidebar here, which we've kind of talked about, what did Jesus probably look like? It wasn't that. If you want to go home, you can Google, what did Jesus really look like? And you'll be amazed if that's what you think Jesus looked like. But that's a sidebar. Don't Google it right now, because I want you to stay focused on what we're talking about. Well, this story of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is perhaps kind of this one from John is the most influential in our understanding of what it means to be the Good Shepherd. But is this a correct understanding of the passage? If anybody steal a photography term, is it a soft focus story? Is it a story of this peace and calm? Is it what is said by Jesus, this meek and mild thing? Can we really hold to this romantic image of this story, or are we doing injustice to what actually Jesus was talking about? You'll not be surprised that I think we need to revisit our idea about it, because to interpret it correctly, the truth is the setting for this gospel reading is not sentimental. It's set in the context of a conflict with authority. It's not on a quiet hillside, all peaceful and calm, with Jesus in the center of an adoring crowd and disciples. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were always seeking to catch him, to get him to say something wrong or unpopular so that they could say, oh, look at this guy, he's the worst, you know, or, you know, you shouldn't be following him. And Jesus speaks of wolves coming to snatch the sheep and devour them. He speaks of cowardly hired hands who just care about themselves and run off. He speaks of the shepherd having to die a death to be attacked and killed by the wolves in order to save his sheep. So then what makes Jesus, what makes what he says confrontational? First, he's using an image from Scripture to undermine their authority as religious leaders. He's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees saw themselves as the spiritual guides of Israel, the spiritual protectors. But here Jesus is calling himself a good shepherd who will protect God's flock. And he refers to Ezekiel 35, which talks a lot about this idea. If the Pharisees that heard him saying this, "I'm the good shepherd," would have immediately jumped to Ezekiel 34, which says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel." And so this would have been something that they would have known immediately when he says, "I'm the good shepherd, you're not being the good shepherds." He's making it very, very clear that the shepherds who have let the sheep down, and now he is the good shepherd who will love the flock to the point of sacrifice. A direct criticism to the ones that he's speaking to. That's the first aspect that makes it confrontational. And the second, Jesus is actually placing himself in the direct line of spiritual descent from the greatest king of all, King David. David was a good shepherd in a very real sense. That was his job, right? When they went to go get David to become the king, the prophet went and said, "Well, are all these all your sons?" He's like, "Well, no, David's out. He's out in the field being a shepherd." And so that's in 1 Samuel 17, where David said to King Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth." So David is the good shepherd who goes out after the sheep. And third, and most scandalously, Jesus is making a claim for himself that the Pharisees would have seen as blasphemous, because in the Hebrew scripture, God also referred to himself as the shepherd of Israel, and the people of Israel being his sheep. And here comes Jesus saying to the Pharisees that he is this good shepherd. The irony of that would not have been lost on the Pharisees, and they would have been appalled and shocked at what Jesus was claiming for himself. This is what Jesus was meaning when he said he is the good shepherd in the context of his time. But there's something else that's really important for us followers to get from this passage, more than Jesus being the leader that Israel needed. I feel like more to this passage than just Jesus asserting himself in opposition to the religious leaders, to the powers that be, this passage shows us what it means to be a church, to be the church that God longs for us to be, and that's what I want us to focus in on this morning. That is what this passage and what it says is so important. In this passage, Jesus defines the Christian community, the church, not in terms of doctrine or belief systems or how we do things or what denomination we are. Jesus defines the Christian community as those who know the voice of God and walk close to him, living in relationship with God, doing what God is saying to do. As we walk close to Jesus, we're drawn into community more and more. It means that we are here because we hear the same voice. We're not here because we all agree theologically, right? Yeah? Okay, I just want to make sure. I hope so. Maybe we do. But what we do have in common is that we hear the same voice of this good shepherd, and we know this voice. We're blessed to have such a good shepherd that loves us unto death. But that voice, the voice is the guiding light of our life. It's true that the shepherd will not, and it's true, shepherds, sheep will not follow strangers' voices. Anybody has spent any time with sheep, they know the people that take care of them. If you come over and say the same thing that someone who owns a sheep says, "Oh, come over here," they won't do it. They know their voice. They know the voice of the person who cares for them. And if we all have the same shepherd and we heed that same voice, that means we're all part of the same flock. We know our shepherd's voice and has called us to this place, to this church, to this body of believers. We've been called by that voice. And that's why we're here, not because our families have gone to this church for generations or because we live nearby or the church is lovely, which it is. We are here because we have the same shepherd. Our good shepherd knows us, and we know the good shepherd. Jesus knows us, and he says in the scripture, he knows us as well as the Father. That's amazing. We're tremendously known. That's what the St. Augustine quote was getting at. But all this, more than knowing the voice, more than knowing what it sounds like, but knowing the shepherd's voice, is also knowing the kind of things that voice would say. We know what God sounds like and what he says and when God speaks to us. Every once in a while, my phone will ring, And I'll say hello, and the person on the other end says, "What up, preacher man?" I know immediately who that is. There's only one person in my entire life who calls me preacher man. That's Brian Ballinger, but hopefully, you know, I think I can say his name on the video here. But anyway, Brian Ballinger will always call and say, "What up, preacher man?" Always, always. So I know who it is. It's more than just knowing his voice. I know what he kind of, what he says. Similarly, we know not just the voice, but the phrases, the wordings, the kinds of things our shepherd says, the kind of loving things, the challenging things that is a crucial part of knowing this voice. We're drawn together by that voice that tells us to be about loving, to be about serving. So we are part of this herd where our shepherd will not flee, will not run from a fight that's reassuring and affirming and strengthening as we live out our lives in this community of faith. So in light of that, we're called to be one flock. Sounds simple, but it's not, right? There's this great joke about this guy who's on a deserted island, and the rescuers come, and he has three buildings. And so the rescuer says, "Well, why do you have, well, you know, what are the three buildings for? Why would you take time to build three?" And he's like, "Well, the first one's my house." He's like, "Oh, okay." He's like, "Well, what about the second one?" "Well, the second one's my church." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, what about the third one?" "Well, that's the church that I used to go to." See, we're called to be part of the same flock. And we find things in the community of faith. We find that living that out is tough or frustrating, but we need always to retune into the voice of the Good Shepherd. When we disagree or know that finding common ground is difficult, we can remember why we're here and be busy doing the things that God has us to do. And that will bring peace to our herd. Mother Teresa says, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. We do belong to each other. We are in the same herd, flock, or a group of sheep can actually be called a mob. So there you go. If you want, that's another thing. So you can Google it, but not right now. Later on, you know, but so when we have this unity, we can then share about how good our shepherd is. And we know so many people let down in their lives by church, maybe by pastors, by family, by friends. But what, you know, but what we have is a steadfast, strong, good, in all possible ways, shepherd. And the fact that we're different, that we have varied affiliations and values and different things, and we still love each other, is the strongest validation of the goodness of the shepherd. And to steal a line from Huey Lewis in the news, that is the power of love. We have that one that will not let us down, one that knows us perfectly and loves us perfectly. And the just when you thought it couldn't get any better, there's even better news, that there's even more out there being called to join our flock, hearing that same voice. God is saying that there are others in this passage, he's saying, and he's saying it to us this morning, there's others who need to know the stability, love, and acceptance. And it's our work, our job, our focus to make it real for them. People out there maybe hear the call, the shepherd, but because of pain, because of being let down, because of busyness, because of a whole myriad of things, that's where we come in. We as a church need to be open to that voice that we know. Because we know what that voice sounds like, we also know what kind of things that God says. God is calling out to us this very morning to do great things in this community and world. We need to listen to that voice, and we have to trust it. Welcome to the herd, the flock, the mob, depending on which word you like. But there's more room. This is an open-ended herd. This gives us such freedom to be ourselves, roam where we want to, but know that we're called by that same loving voice and have the love and support of each other. Welcome to the herd, the flock, the mob. We have the best shepherd, one that loves us, to lay down his very life. So let us invite others, knowing that the shepherd is calling them too. But maybe they don't know what that voice sounds like, and maybe they know our voice, and we can convey all that God wants to share into this ever unfolding, enfolding flock of God. There's plenty of room and there's plenty of love. So welcome to the flock.